My name's Guang, and I have a full-time job at university, and so I'm also a pastor here in this church. So, when I was in high school, my parents gave me a watch, a mechanical watch. And this is the kind of watch that you have a knob, you can wind it up, and then the watch will run for a day, about a day. If you do not wind enough or you forgot to wind it, you stop. And if you wind too much, so one time, one evening, I was talking with my friends in the dorm, and I winding my watch, and I did not pay attention. And I wounded too much. And the spring snapped, the watch broke. So, you know, the watch has a design. The watch has a designer and has a way for the watch, you know, the way for the watch to work. We, as God's people, we also have a designer. God is our designer. And wisdom, you know, in this summer, we are going through the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is the way of God, the way of life, according to the design of our Maker. And if we know the design, and if we respect the design, our life works well. And if we are ignorant of the design, or even if we ignore the design, we suffer want and sorrows. And Proverbs, if you think about it, unlike the other book, in the whole book is wisdom. The Bible is the wisdom of God. Proverbs, you know, specifically is for everyone, even for the young, for the old. And so it has been my prayer, that through this series on Proverbs, that all of us, young and old, would develop a greater desire for wisdom, so that our life will work well. It will go well for us. Now, given the desire is good. To have the desire is good, but it's not enough. In order to have wisdom, it takes greater work. It's this, so I'm going to just recite a section, Proverbs 2. And you pay attention to the intensity in Proverbs 2. It says this, my son is like a father speaking to the son. When I read it, I read it as God speaking to me, speaking to you. It says, my son, if you receive my word and treasure up my commandments within you, incline your ear for understanding, for incline your ear for wisdom, and apply your heart for understanding. If you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, it takes great intensity to find wisdom. It's like finding a treasure. So, you know, as you read the Bible, read the Proverbs, you know, you can come to this point, too much work. And if that's our attitude, we won't find much wisdom. It takes much work. How it says in the proverb, all hard work brings profit, but mere talking or watching TV or whatever that is leads only to poverty. That hard work is the way of life. And also, sometimes another thing it takes to get wisdom is humility. You know, when we read the Bible, sometimes, and I had that experience, we found ourselves do not get anything from it. So we give up. This pointless. Waste my time. So what I would encourage us is to find someone. Okay, find a good friend. In the community groups, you know, find a pastor or someone you trust, you know. Say, brother, you know, I just do not enjoy the reading. Could you help me out? Is there something I'm missing here? Ask. That requires humility. Ask. Seek. That's what it takes to find wisdom. Another thing is I think it really requires faith. You know, do I really believe the wisdom is the way of life designed by God? If we follow it, it will do us much good. If we ignore it, it will do us much harm. Do we really truly believe that? We can ask God for faith, to give us faith to trust in God's word. So let me pray. Let me pray for all of us. And, you know, by the way, as I'm speaking, I told a couple brothers, you know, this is not a one man's activity. This is a group activity. Pray for me, engage with me, bear with me. You know, I'm not a native speaker. So, so let's work together. Let's desire wisdom together. Okay. Dear God, we thank you. I just thank you for this family. Lord, I'm standing here. And Lord, we are standing in your presence. And we ask you, we beg you for wisdom. And Lord, give us a desire for wisdom. And help us recognize we need pursue you, pursue wisdom with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, with our all. Help us willing to do the work. And help us be humble to ask. Lord, we ask you, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I will narrow down my focus on one topic in wisdom. And that's the fear of the Lord. And I chose it, you know, I chose it for three reasons. Three reasons. The first reason. The first is Proverbs. It's very foundational. It's very foundational. It is, the Bible says, the Proverbs says, it is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom. That's how Proverbs starts. And actually, that's how Proverbs ends. It says, you know, in the last chapter, it says, the woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. And throughout the whole Bible, the fear of the Lord is so central, so foundational to other things. Secondly, the reason I picked the topic is because I see the imbalance. I heard much talk on the love of God, very little on the fear of the Lord. You know, we do well talk much about the love of God. We should keep on doing that, but we should talk much about the fear of the Lord. And what happened is, if we are not careful, we think God is, we can just take him as easy. If we believe in Jesus, he forgave our sins, we can do whatever we want, and we take God as he has no standard at all. You know, we can just, grace is enough. Worst of all, since when we talk too much of God, on God's the love of God, and little on the fear of the Lord, we are not sure God loves us. We are not sure God loves us. And like in Malachi, God, do you really love us? But when we fear God, we'll be sure he loves us. The fear of God will lead us to a place we are convinced God loves us. Thirdly, I picked topic. It's because there's so many rich promises for fearing the Lord. And I'll give you one. So here is one commandment with a great promise from Psalm 34. It says, fear the Lord, you his saints, for he who fears the Lord have no lack. You lack nothing. What a promise. And you can read more the context. And the whole psalm is pretty much about the fear of the Lord. So here is for the remaining today. So here's what I'm going to do. Just give you an outline. I will talk about what does it mean to fear. When you say fear, what does it mean to fear? And then I will talk about, you know, do I fear the Lord? Do I fear the Lord? And then in lastly, I'll show you just some promises on fearing the Lord. So now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? The Hebrew word for fear cannot be quite translated in English. There's a Chinese word for it, I'm pretty sure in some other languages, but not in English. So in English, if you want to understand the fear, you have to use more words. So there are two primary meanings when we talk about the fear of the Lord. And the first is to revere, is to be in awe, okay? And to even to tremble before God. And this kind of fear is because of his excellence and greatness. And that just caused us to fear before him. And this fear was in the beginning of the creation. When God first created man, the fear was there. And it will last forever. Okay? And then we have the second kind of fear. And that this fear is we are afraid. We are afraid of his wrath because of the evil and the sin in us. And this fear entered into mankind in Genesis chapter 3. Okay, this fear is different. And I want to say this. You know, we this morning worshiped John and the team. I just appreciate our, you know, the singing songs together. When Christ come, Christ will deliver us from the second fear. This second fear. But Christ will never deliver us from the first fear. The fear of God will always be with us. So I like how the hymn Amazing Grace put it. You know how he says, the grace of God, grace taught me to fear, to revere, to admire, to be in awe. The grace taught me to fear God. But grace also relieves many fears of mine. Grace also take away many fears. So, now, let's just go dive this a little deeper. So the statement is, the excellence, the greatness of God calls us to revere, to admire, to trust, to tremble before God. So I would like to ask, just do a group exercise here. So I would like us to, you know, Psalm 34 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. And then later it says, let us exalt him together. So I would like us together here, if you could shout out when you speak, just some excellence of the Lord. Okay, let's exalt him together. What are some excellence you can bring into your mind? Let's exalt him together.
Admiration.
Yeah, just some attributes of the Lord. Some attributes, some character of the Lord. Like, for example, give an example. That he is the maker. He made the universe. You know, billions of miles. He made it all. What other attributes you can think about the Lord?
He's kind.
Unchanging. He's unchanging.
Admirable.
Just. Holy.
Compassionate.
Redeemer. What's that?
Redeemer.
He's the redeemer.
Loving.
Let's keep on for the rest 30 minutes. Go on.
Come again.
I think we can do. We can just keep on doing it. That is what we'll do in heaven, by the way. I think part of it is. So, tell you one story. Years ago, probably 8-9 years ago, I went to see a doctor in McFarland Clinic near the hospital. And after seeing the doctor, I went to the bus stop because I rode the bus. So it was a fall, beautiful fall day. I remember the sunshine. I remember the red leaves, the leaves. And then, so I was waiting on the bus, have nothing to do. And at the time, I had a practice to memorize God's verse. So I just memorized Proverbs 15:3. So I just bring the verse into my mind. It says this. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Keep watching good and evil. And so I bring that in my mind. Do you know what happened to me? I was seized with fear. All of a sudden, I realized, God, I'm being watched. God is watching me. Wherever I am, God is watching me. Do you know? God is watching us. Wherever we go, even the darkest corner, God is watching us. So, and now, let me talk about the second fear. The second fear is the wrath of God. The wrath of God, and this second fear is because of our doing, right? And his perfection, his wrath is perfect. and his perfection towards our wrongdoing. And so here's what it says in Deuteronomy. And there are multiple examples here. I'll just list a couple. In Deuteronomy, it says this about someone who bears false testimonies. It says, you should do to him as he intended to do his brother. He, you know, just a bare testimony. And then he says, you shall purge the evil from you so that all Israelites may hear and fear. God hates evil. And he wants to purge the evil from among his people. And let's hear another. This from about a rebellious son. So if you have a family, if the son is rebellious and it will remain unchanged, what you do is your parents should drag him out. It says, then all the men in the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from among you, so that men of Israel will hear and fear. That's the fear. And this is not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament as well. So in the Acts chapter 5, in Acts chapter 5, before chapter 5, Peter spoke, and 3,000 believed. And they have a church, big church, and people are sharing their possession. And this one was one person, his wife, Ananias. He also sold their property. But he, perhaps because he wanted to look good, he withdrew some money. And for the rest, he gave to Peter, this is all we got for selling the property. And Peter said, why do you lie to God? And why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? And so you can see the scene. The people are bringing property in, and on the left, on the left they are giving to the poor. And then here's Ananias, and this is Peter, and God struck him to death. And he says, the fear of God fell upon them all. I want you to imagine this with me. If one of us here, did something evil, and God struck him or her dead in the front of us, we all be in great fear, right? Can you imagine that fear? Keep that fear with you, because that's what God wants us. God wants us to fear him, to stay away from evil. Now, let's expand this to see what does it mean to fear the Lord. And let's go to the scripture again. Let's go to Psalm 34. It says, come, O children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Are there any of you who desire life and to see many good days? Keep your tongue from speaking evil, and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So here we see, so here's David is writing this psalm. David wrote this psalm. Here we see many things here in these few verses. We see the rich promises of God. It says, who among you fear the Lord? So here's the reward. You will have life and you will see many good days. That's the promise of the fearing the Lord, the result. And then here's what it means to fear the Lord practically. It means to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. It means to turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So fearing God means to turn away from evil and do good. So I want to give you a picture. This is like, imagine you are going through a land, maybe a mire, okay? And there's a path through the mire. And if you follow the path, it will lead you to life, to safety. And if you ignore the path, if you swerve from the path, it will lead you to death. So fearing God means to stay on the path of God. Stay on the path. And so here is what the psalmist says. He says, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. So this is the fear of the Lord. This picture says, I stay on the path. He said, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to walk in your ways, in your rule. I do not turn my feet from your rules because you have taught me. And also, I see that the fearing God also leads to a love for God's word, for God's law. And someone says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Fearing God leads us to love for God's law. Now, let's go a little further. You know, I just want to add this. The reason we love God's word more and more is because we know it is life-giving. I know it's life-giving. And so when the person fears God, eventually he loves God, he loves the law, and he desires holiness. Okay, and let's move on to another, see how the Proverbs says about fearing God. It says the fear of God in Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is hatred towards evil. So now, in Psalm 34, it says to do good and turn away from evil. So here, it amplified and says more about it is even to hate evil. The fear of God is hatred towards evil. So you might think in this way is our fear of God's wrath keep us away from evil. And it's our reverence for God will cause us, will lead us even to hate evil. And there are evil all around us. And I was praying with a number of brothers and pastors, and they report, you know, how one family in Texas, in the church, and how the girl, you know, 17, 18 girl, years old girl, and how she took her life. And then the other brothers, you know, we were praying over Zoom, and one brother prayed, and he prayed for the family, and in the end, he said, how I hate evil. You know, just evil just does so much harm to us. How we hate evil. So now, I think it begs the question. We need a good understanding here. We need to know, what is evil? You know, I used to think, when I think about evil, I think about Hitler. You know, he's evil. And I do not associate evil with myself. I don't think myself is evil. But what is evil? What does the Bible say? What is evil according to the Bible? For that, it leads us back to Genesis. Let's see what evil is first mentioned in the Bible. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. It says, God caused all things to grow up in the garden, and there are trees, you know, pleasing to the eyes and good for fruit. And there's also the tree of life, and also this tree of knowledge of good and evil. This first occurrence of evil in the Bible. It's not the occurrence of evil, but the mention of the word evil. And so evil, according to the Bible, evil actually is quite simple in a sense. It's just the opposite of good. It's the something morally bad. That's evil, something morally bad. Something hurting, something unkind, and something injurious, something wicked to the far end, something wicked to something small but morally bad to something very wicked. So Hitler will be something very wicked. He's evil. You and me, we did something also morally bad from time to time. They are evil in us as well. Actually, they are evil in my mind, in our mind, in our words, in our thoughts, in our deeds. And since we all sin, we all commit evil. So the Bible says we need to turn from evil. We need to hate evil and turn from evil. I have a list here, not exhaustive. So like, for example, if I, as a small kid, I was unkind to my little brother. That's evil. That's an evil deed. And if I lie to my teacher, that's evil. That's evil. If I cheat on exam, that's evil. Right? And this goes on. If I'm angry, there are good angers, but in general, anger, that's evil. And you can just go on, gossip, theft, cheating, jealousy, lust, disobedience, that's evil. And I know this can make us feel uncomfortable when we call this out, but indeed, they are in us. Evil is in us. We as God's people, when we believe in Jesus, God may make us a new creation. We belong to heaven. By nature, we are not evil. God makes us good. But we are still evil in us. Traveling with him. Think about traveling with God. That's evil. Think about idolatry. I think we all have some kind of idolatry. We hold on things. They become our idols in our hearts. That's evil. You will harm you, and you will harm to the people around you one way or another. That's evil. So, now, the fear of the Lord is hatred towards evil. It's to do good and turn away from evil. Now I want to change topic a little bit. I want to talk about, do I fear the Lord? I just want to make this a little more personal. Do I fear the Lord? You can examine your heart, ask the question, do I fear the Lord? And some of you are here, wasting, and you fear the Lord. You desire to know God, but you have not believed in Jesus. What I want to say is there's a great good news. There's great news. It's, the Bible says for those who believe in Jesus, we are justified by his blood. And we are saved from the wrath of God. Much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. It says in another place, it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those of us who claim to be Christians, who are in Christ, and if we stumble and sin, we need not be afraid of God's wrath. Because God, Christ, He understands our weaknesses. He will not burst into wrath. Right? He understands our weaknesses. And so it says, 1 John, it says, little children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, how do I fear God? I just want to say a few more words. How do I fear the Lord? And I think just to look within, to look within. So first is to do good, to keep on doing what's good. By the way, this church, I'm just proud of this church family. You know, we are very generous. We love each other. There are many things we can boast about this church. Keep doing the good. And then, you know, since we are talking about fear of the Lord, then the other side is we do need to turn away from evil, to hate evil. We need to recognize the evil in our lives. Recognize the evil in your life. And then turn from the evil. And secondly, I think we need one another. We need each other. We need each other. And for example, it says in James, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And here I would like to encourage and exhort those of you who are the head of your household. I would like to you lead your family to fear the Lord. And, you know, you could just, even today, you know, when you have lunch together, you know, you can ask each one to recognize the evil in our lives. Do some confession. What are some evil in my life? How do I turn from it? We need each other. Here I want to say about something about there's a prayer meeting. There's a men's prayer meeting. John Burdine, he's not here. John Burdine is leading. It's on Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the church. I invite you to come, your men to come. It's a time, come to be blessed. You know, men, they are true men there. Men who are honest, who open their hearts, open their lives, and they confess their struggles. We need each other. We need each other to fear God more. And lastly, the good news is God will help us. Even regarding fearing the Lord, God himself, the Lord himself will help us. It says, may the God of peace, he himself sanctify you completely. You know, we are striving to stay on the path. You know, how many times I stumble, right? And God is patient with us. He said, Paul says this prayer, he says, may the God of peace sanctify you completely. May your whole body, mind, and spirit, you know, soul and spirit, be kept blameless until the day of Christ. You know, and God is faithful. God is faithful. He who promised faithful, he will surely do it. So let's work together with God to fear him. Now, you may wonder, does believing Jesus, you know, save me from the fear of the Lord? And so there are things that does and does not, right? Believing Jesus does save us from the fear of his wrath. So believing Jesus saves us from his wrath. Believing Jesus does not save us from our reverence due to him, nor from his garment, from his law. God did not save us from God did not save us into lawlessness. We had to be under his perfect garment. That's why it says, oh, how I love your law. We want to be in his perfect guidance, perfect garment. Believing Jesus does save us from many other fears, from fear of death, from fear of man, and many, many other fears, but not our reverence for God, nor his garment, nor his law, right? We are under all of those. Lastly, I want to spend the last section on just see how other Proverbs says about the fear of the Lord. And just promises throughout the Bible on fearing the Lord. And I think you'll be amazed. So first, let's see what the Proverbs says. I just pick a few. There are many more. So here it says, in Proverbs 19, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, in 1:7, it's the beginning of knowledge. And here it says, the beginning of wisdom. And then Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence. And for his children, his children will have refuge. You know, you love your children. You care for your children. You want to provide a secure refuge for them? Fear the Lord. If you desire wisdom, fear the Lord. Now, I love this one. The last one says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And he who finds it rests satisfied. And he will not be wasted by harm. Would you like to be satisfied? Do you feel empty? Or you are satisfied? You're just so satisfied. If you desire to be fully satisfied, fear the Lord. That's the way of God. That's his design. If you desire your life work, you desire your life works, fear the Lord. Desire wisdom. Walk in the way of God. Now let's see. There are many promises. I will just go through some of the promises of God. First, from Psalm 25. It says this. It says, who is the man who fears the Lord? Who is the man who fears the Lord? It says, him, this person, the Lord will instruct in the way he should choose. You know, we make many decisions in our life. You know, which school, which college to go to, which man or woman to marry. And there are many, many decisions. And many times, we desire to know the will of the Lord. We desire he will instruct us in the way we should choose. If you desire that, fear the Lord. Walk in his way, fear the Lord, and he will instruct you in the way you should choose. If you want your children well, you know, you desire the well-being of your children, it says, you know, for those who fear the Lord, his children will inherit the land. His soul shall dwell, abide in well-being, and his children shall inherit the land. And then it says further, it says the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he make known to them his covenant. God will become your friend when we fear the Lord. Let's look at another psalm, Psalm 145. It says, the Lord fulfills the desires of those who fear him. You know, we all have desires, right? And as we fear the Lord, the good thing, our desires become holy, holier and holier. Our desire, God's will becomes our will. And God, the Lord, will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. And it also says, the Lord will save them. And he will hear their cry and saves them. For those who fear the Lord. Psalm 147, it says this about the fear of the Lord. It says, God's delight is not in the strength of a horse. You know, in old time, you ride a horse, you know, and or in the war, a strong horse, but the Lord's delights are not in those. And not in the legs or the strength of a man, but his delight. He takes pleasure in whom? In those who fear him. You know, it's good to be delighted by God, isn't it? We all like to be loved and delighted in God. Fear the Lord. Now, even in the New Testament, if we look at the life of Jesus, it says he heard, you know, he poured out prayers and supplications with a lot of tears, with a lot of cries and tears, and he was heard because of his reverence, because of his fear of the Lord. So let's skip to the next slide. And let's just, for sake of time, let's go to the application. So I have just a simple, Doug, let's just skip it. Yeah. So it's 40 minutes now. So now, just as application. And so fearing God is the way of God. And fearing God is the way of life. So here is our charge from the Lord, from our God. It says, fear the Lord. Oh, you his saints, for those who fear the Lord have no lack. So how about I pray? And then, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you made us, you gave us life. And then on how Christ, you died for us, and you made us into a new creation. We are born again, so we own you twice. We thank you that you love us, that you revealed the secret of life, the wisdom, the way of life to us. Have us love your law. We thank you in Jesus' name.